Again, our theme this morning is love. And as you see and saw and participated from the liturgy, that is what we desire. And I want us to consider from God's word, what are the marks of a loving church? I think oftentimes we know it when we're there, but God has given us passages that I want us to look at this morning to know when it's true. We're going to link two passages together, John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19, if you want to go ahead and open there. And then the Old Testament, one verse, and this is what I'll be preaching from the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16. As we think about our vision banquet that's upcoming on Reformation Sunday, we'll be hearing more of where we sense the officers and leaders of the church are, how the Lord is moving us and taking us in a particular direction. My focus this morning as I preach will be in light of the kind of church that God is making, what kind of people are we to become? Because those two things will always go together. As God's church grows and matures and it becomes all that the Lord intends, that will have an emphasis and a bearing upon our individual lives. So as we see these things, these marks this morning, my proposition is that God will make us into the loving people He has designed us to be. But the question is, do we know what that is? Do we know those marks? Do we know what that will look like? It's a beautiful thing to know, as we have talked recently from Scripture, that there's nothing new. God has not changed. His word was the same yesterday, will be today, and it will be tomorrow. It's a beautiful thing. Our scripture today will follow the theme of a sheep shepherd. And we see that emphasis throughout scripture. And we'll look at it today of what the Lord is doing. First, let's look at John chapter 21 to be reminded again of this theme of what the Lord has commanded followers to receive and to be. John 21, verse 15. This is Jesus' conversation with Peter. Said, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after he said this to him, he said, follow me. And now turn to the Old Testament, to Zechariah. It may not be an easy book to find. The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Zechariah is right before Malachi. Zechariah 11, verse 16. And to see the type of shepherd God does not want us to have. Verse 16, for behold, I'm raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hooves. Jesus said that he will provide shepherds for his people. And we see from the Old Testament that God intends for us to be shepherded, but he has marks of what those shepherds are to be like. Well, what's true of shepherds is that as they follow Christ, they are to give to us as his people all the teaching and training that God has for us. But what we see in the Old Testament, I absolutely find so interesting, is that Zechariah, this book of prophecy, written to God's people after going into exile, God is warning his people that they are beginning to make mistakes. That they are doing the things in Israel's downfall, those very same things. And of course, we can see this from the Old Testament, know that a Messiah is coming And we read there in John where Christ has come. But what I want us to focus on this morning, following this theme of the sheep and the shepherd, is to see these four marks from verse 16 of Zechariah 11. And see that this is what the church of Jesus Christ is to look like today. And as the church looks like that, that's what our individual lives are to look like as well. What is it that we are to be concerned in doing? What is it that we are to be? What is it that we are to become? We are to be these four things mentioned. And those will be the four points of my sermon. I've thought about this in another context. Instead of entitling this sermon "The Marks of a Loving Church," you could say this: how to have a bad church. If you want to have a bad church, hire a pastor who won't do any of these things, and that's what you'll have. But again, the marks of a loving church, followers of Jesus Christ. First, what is it that we are to be? What is it that we are to become? Number one, a loving church, a loving people, will be people who care for the lost. The ESV translation says that this shepherd, who is not of the Lord, who is cursed, does not care for those who are, quote, being destroyed. Other translations would say that which has been cut off. Who are those who are being destroyed? Who are those who have been cut off? The NIV says very clearly that this shepherd does not care for the lost. Over the many implications of the lost, I think what's dealing with here, what the scripture is dealing with, is those who are spiritually separated from God. That is, in New Testament terms, those who do not know Christ. A loving church will be a church who cares for those people who do not know the Lord, who need to know Christ. That's what we are to be, those who need to obey the gospel message of Christ for the first time. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, he said, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." It's the responsibility of the shepherd to care for those for whom Jesus died. For those who the Lord is calling to himself. If we're to be a loving people, if God is going to use us in Lexington, we will care for those who need to know him. For those who were here once upon a time perhaps, but now are gone, who need to be brought back, we will care for those in order that the rest of the sheep will know and care. The shepherds, the pastors, are to care for them. A loving church will be a place where those who need to know Christ will find him. John Sartell used to often say from the pulpit, and that he would tell us in our staff meetings, that you need to always be praying for someone who you know who does not know Christ, that you'll be praying for opportunities to share Christ with them. And I think that application is absolutely perfect again for us today. And those people who we interface with, who we interact with we work with, we need to make a list of people that we know are not followers of Christ and pray for them. And pray that God will open doors in which we can share our faith with them. If we are going to truly love people and they are separated from Christ, then we will desire above all else that they will know him. We must be a people who recognize the reality that heaven and hell are real places. And a shepherd who is under God's curse doesn't care. A loving church will. That our lives are surrounded with people and family who need Christ. It's true. And that's what our church is to be. I don't think this will come as a surprise to any of us. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, please know that it's the heart of your pastors. It's the heart of your session. It's the heart of the people who are followers of Christ here that you will hear the gospel message. That Jesus Christ loves you. That he died for people like you who need him. That you can put your sin upon him and you will find forgiveness and grace there. You know, every Wednesday night, we have a prayer ministry. It's called Access. We meet out in the narthex in the parlor there. And every Wednesday at 7:30, we pray for the needs of the church. And every single week, we pray and we ask that the Lord will send people to this church who do not know him. And that when they come, they will meet people who will love them and care for them and lead them and follow, show them how to follow Christ. Do you know people who don't know Christ? I suspect you do. A loving church will be people who are involved in the lives of non-believers. But there is a temptation to think, and I've seen this at work, and it's not good. There's a temptation to think that that's all a gospel ministry is to be about. It's about reaching the lost. But what we see from Zechariah, what we see from chapter 11 and verse 16, is that shepherds are supposed to do more than just that. A loving church will be involved in more than just evangelism. Look back at the verse, the second imperative, if you will, from chapter 11. It's to seek the young. And I love this. I'm so glad that it's included. I'm so glad that it's here. It's certainly appropriate on the day that we would have a baptism of one of our covenant children. Who's he referring to in this case? At least two different groups would come to mind. First, to seek the young would be those who are young in age. Or secondly, those who are young in the faith. Either they are young because they're just children, or they're adults who have come to know Christ, but yet they are very young in the faith. John Calvin says about this verse that these are sheep who are tender. That is, they have not known Christ long. They're not used to following a shepherd, and they need to be taught. Let's think about both of those distinctions there. Young in age, first. And there's a key distinction that needs to be made here that comes from the passage that draws such a great clarification between a covenantal view of children and a non-covenantal view of children. If you come from a background such as the one I did, where I did not have a covenant view of children, you typically would think the children of followers of Christ go into the first category, that they go into the category of the lost, that they simply need to be evangelized like the rest of the world. But what we see here from Scripture, this covenantal view, is that children of believers are recognized as young. That is, God has put them into a home and a family and a gospel community in which they will hear the gospel of Christ from a very, very early age. In fact, so early as we saw this morning, before they can even understand, they hear about Christ. They still need to come to Him. They still need to receive and to appropriate, but they're here. They are here. They are young. They have received the external mark of baptism of a family, the follower of Christ, but yet they are prayed for, they're encouraged, they're taught, they're loved upon. We have youth groups, we have Sunday school, we have campus ministries. We do all these things so that we can grow children in the faith. A loving church will always be a church who cares for the next generation. We'll always have that heart. If you take that away, you've robbed the church of one of the things that God has called it to do and be. We have a school at Tate's Creek, Trinity Christian Academy. The whole idea of Christian education is this, that we are so committed to the next generation that we will love them, we will train them. Proverbs 22:6 says to train a child in the way he will go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. We are called as a loving church to be involved in the next generation. It doesn't mean that we treat them as unbelievers. It means that we teach them as children to be followers of Christ. But also, in God's grace, He will send people to our church who will come to know Him, who had no background before, and a loving church will care for those who know nothing at all. And it will be beautiful. New believers are to be guided in how to follow Christ. We're to follow the instruction of Scripture and to help them grow. You know, I think it's the pastor's responsibility to establish the culture where this can happen, and that all of us will play a role in caring for those who are young. I hope every person in here, if you are a follower of Christ and a member of this church, I hope in some capacity you will be involved in caring for the next generation. I don't know exactly what that will look like. Certainly there are opportunities to serve in the nursery, to teach Sunday school, Bible school, all of those, of course, they're great. But my vision, my dream for our church, as we think about the covenant and our opportunity and responsibility to pass our faith to the next generation, that we would have a plethora of people involved in caring for the young, of taking care of our infants in the nursery, of teaching. A dream of a day when we'll have a sign-up list that you'll have to wait to get on in order to keep the nursery, because you so much care for the next generation. You know, one of the things that I love about our children's Sunday school curriculum is that it involves a lot of people. It'd be easier for it to just involve one person, but with multiple teachers, multiple small group leaders, it forces us to involve a lot of people, and yet that is God's grace to include so many. Tommy Ogden, friend of mine, been in the Vine Sunday school class that I've taught for years. He told me he really never learned much from me at all, but once he started teaching children Sunday school, then he really was able to appropriate his faith. There's something unique about a church that cares for the next generation. God uses it. God blesses it. We won't be a loving church if we don't care for those who the Lord sends to us. So what's a loving church do? First, we care for the lost. We pray that the Lord will use us. We seek the young. We seek them. But we're still not finished. A fully orbed, loving, caring church. Thirdly, from verse 16, is to help the hurting. Help the hurting. There is a dominant theme in all of this. It's not surprising, really, but we need to remember it. The overriding issue of a shepherd and a sheep in this context, the overriding issue are people. People, image bearers of God. That's the focus here. Again, John Calvin says about this, referring to a pastor who is a shepherd. He says that no one is a true shepherd, a true pastor, whom the Lord does not rule by a spirit, who is not his minister, however they assume the title, when he has forsaken the people. The third characteristic of a loving church is that we are to heal the maimed. And it certainly relates to those who are physically ill, but I think it's broader than just that. And we talk often about how Christ will come and bring his kingdom in its fullness, that his kingdom will be consummated. Revelation 22, verse 3 says that someday there will be a day when there will be no curse. And every one of us, whether we realize it or not, that's the day that we long for, when there will be no curse at all and everything will be made right. But until then, here's the reality, that people like you and me, we will face every kind of problem imaginable. And Christians are not exempt from those. We don't have to face them like a non-believer where we have no hope. However, we do have to recognize the fact that we will hurt. Things will happen to us. We will not be excused from the reality of the curse and the fall. And what are people inside of God's church to be doing? We are to help them. If we are going to be a loving church, then we will be people who, in fact, care for those who are hurting, those who need to be healed, those who have been maimed. In whatever form that takes, a godly church will be involved in encouragement, in counsel, in financial help, in prayer, of whatever is involved that needs to be done, a loving church will do it. I attended a seminar a couple years ago at a pastor's conference, and Paige Benton Brown, some of you all have heard Paige Benton Brown speak before, and she spoke to all of us as pastors. And she said to us, her dad was a PCA legendary pastor, she said, if I were to ever come to you and ask you how your ministry is, and you tell me what you're teaching, she said, you misunderstood the question. I didn't ask you what you were teaching. I said, how is your ministry? That is, the people whom Christ died for. Are you involved in their lives? Are you helping them? At General Assembly last year, there was a man who was to give a seminar, Joe Novenson. I wanted to hear him. He's a pastor in Chattanooga, and just kind of a unique guy. And I went to his seminar to hear him, but he wasn't there. His associate was there, kind of like this morning. But I wanted to hear what Joe had to say about that particular topic. But you know what? He wasn't there. He didn't attend General Assembly. Why? Because there was someone in the hospital, someone in his church, and he wasn't going to leave to go do a seminar while that person was in the hospital. And that was the message. For us as pastors and for us as members of a church, we are to care diligently and desperately for those who are hurting. Who among us this morning has no problems? Who among us has absolutely no issues to deal with at all? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, zero. I would love to meet you. But we know that's not true. All of us in some capacity have issues, and the body of Christ is to move. We are to be engaged in the lives of others. It's love in action. We will carry the mark of our Lord and Savior when we help the hurting. It's what a loving church will do. Lastly, from the passage, verse 16, we're to be involved with the lost, we're to be involved with the young, we're to be involved with those who are hurting. And then lastly, I'm so glad this is included. A loving church will nourish the healthy. It's the category that's usually forgotten. We usually spend our time focusing on the lost, we'll focus our time on those who are hurting, but the healthy need attention as well. Who are the healthy? It's those who are mature in their faith by years of following the Lord, who have experienced various forms of the Lord's sanctification in their life. And they are healthy because God's grace has made them so. But here's the point. They do not remain healthy on their own. Healthy people are to constantly be cared for so that they will continue to be healthy spiritually. Primarily, we do this through what we call the means of grace. That is, when we come to church, when we hear the word preached, when it's taught, when it's read, when we partake of the sacrament, when we engage in prayer, prayer of confession, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of intercession, when we have fellowship with each other, all of these things we have to understand are good for us. They are good for our souls. It's how God cares for us as His followers. I promise you, coming to church is a big deal. It's a big deal because God meets with us here. If you want to do a crazy experiment, don't come to church for a year and see what your life is like. Is it better or is it worse? Don't try that, but I promise, I know the answer. If you're enjoying growth in your worship, in your service of the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God for His grace. But don't think that your life can now be lived on your own apart from Him. Spiritually, there's never a moment where we are on cruise control. There is an enemy who seeks to devour and destroy. If you're healthy this morning spiritually, thank the Lord. But a loving church will be committed to those who are committed. What's the future of Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church? I hope, along with the Universal Church of Christ, we will be marked as a place and as a people who lovingly seek the lost, who lovingly care for the young, who lovingly help the hurting, who lovingly feed the healthy. May it be so. Now let's close our time with our litany of love in our bulletin.